are listening to Tears of Al-Qudsa with Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Wednesdays 9 to 10 a.m. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baum and I'll be your host until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online, we have Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana. It's a nice warm day, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, we're discussing the topic of the Tears of Al-Aqsa in our last discussion. We did the conditions of Palestine, more so the role of the Christian and Jewish relationship, how the Christians had to get rid of the Jews. We also did the era of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the city of Jerusalem. We explained about the Qibla when it came, when Salah was made compulsory, how the Qibla was, the direction was to face Jerusalem. We also explained about since Al-Aqsa played and plays such a significant role in the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we discussed the Mi'raj, and by extension to the Ummah also, how Al-Aqsa is a significant role. There also hadith recorded by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam relating to Al-Aqsa. We started with a few hadith. Today we continue with the hadith relating to Al-Aqsa.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, Moana and our listeners on Radio Islam and on the Ummahat Instagram page. We continue today, inshallah, with additional ahadith relating to the sanctity, the nobility, and the significance of Masjid Al-Aqsa. There are many ahadith that one can narrate that establishes our spiritual link with Masjid Al-Aqsa. So again, today we continue narrating some of the other ahadith. Obviously, we cannot encompass all the ahadith, but we will try and mention some of the significant ahadith relating to Masjid al-Aqsa that re-establishes and establishes our spiritual link with this great sanctity, this great sanctuary, Masjid al-Aqsa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that Rasulullah said, mounts are not saddled. In other words, do not set out on a journey except for three masajids: the masjid of Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, and obviously the third masjid, Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is in Al-Quds. So this is a hadith that establishes the sanctity of Masjid Al-Aqsa together with the Haram al-Sharif in Mecca and the Haram al-Sharif in Madinatul Munawwara. Yet another hadith narrated on the authority of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there is no specific i'tikaf, seclusion, expecting greater rewards, except in three masajids: Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca, Masjid Al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, and the Masjid of Bayt Al-Maqdis in Al-Quds. Yet again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam establishes the sanctity and the greatness and the nobility of this masjid for specifically his ummah, that is you and I. Yet another hadith on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that we were in discussion and we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we asked him, which is better, the masjid of the Messenger of Allah or Bayt al-Maqdis? Now, one is to observe here that even the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, held Masjid al-Aqsa in great honor. And therefore, they asked him this question, that which is a better masjid, which is a more nobler masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, or is it Masjid of Bayt al-Maqdis? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that one prayer in my masjid, which is Masjid al-Nabawi, is better than four prayers in Bayt al-Maqdis. And what an amazing place of worship it is. Surely there will soon come a time. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this case, let's observe and just reflect. While establishing the sanctity of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be greater than Masjid al-Aqsa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on to say, so he says, one prayer in my masjid is better than four prayers in Bayt al-Maqdis. And then he said, what an amazing place of worship is Masjid al-Aqsa. Surely there will soon come a time for a man to have land equivalent to his horse's rope. Surely there will come a time for a man to have land equivalent to his horse's rope. Now we all know that the rein of a horse is extremely small. So Rasulullah is saying that you will have a piece of land that is extremely small, equivalent to your horse's rope, from which you can see Bayt al-Maqdis, will be better for him than the whole world. Subhanallah. Yeah, what an amazing hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you have land that is as small as the horse's rein, from which you are only able to see Masjid al-Aqsa, that piece of land will be more valuable than the whole world. Subhanallah. This again establishes that as we come closer to the Yawmul Qiyamah, the land around Masjid al-Aqsa will become extremely valuable. And if you have land around there from where you can only see the Masjid al-Aqsa, that piece of land will be more valuable and better than the entire world. He, the narrator, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, better for him than the world and everything in it. Now, it is believed that the blessed Masjid al-Aqsa is one of the places of paradise on earth. Masjid al-Aqsa is one of the places of Jannah on earth, based upon another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants to see one of the places of Jannah, then let him look at Bayt al-Maqdis. Subhanallah. Again, establishing the greatness, the nobility, and the sanctity of this sanctuary, which we are all, we hold in high esteem, Masjid al-Aqsa. Rasulullah said, whoever wants to see one of the places of Jannah, then let him look at Bayt al-Maqdis. Yet another hadith, this again establishes, this hadith that we are now going to quote, establishes the honor that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, had for Masjid al-Aqsa, on the authority of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that a man stood on the day of Fath Makkah, on the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Masjid al-Haram, Bayt al-Maqdis, at Arada Bayt al-Haram in Makkah, on Fath Makkah, on the day of the conquest of Makkah, and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I have vowed to Allah that if He grants conquest of Makkah to you, I shall pray two rakats in Bayt al-Maqdis. So he vowed, like how you would vow that if this thing becomes accomplished for me, I would do so and so good deeds. I will fast for so many days. This Sahabi narrates that he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I have vowed that if Allah grants you victory of Makkah, I will travel to Bayt al-Maqdis and perform two rakats of Salah in Bayt al-Maqdis. Again, it establishes that even among the Sahaba, they held Masjid al-Aqsa in great high esteem. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, prayer. He repeated his statement and Rasulullah again said, prayer. Pursue your own cause. Eventually Rasulullah said to him when he said it the third time. In other words, although he said that he will go and pray in Masjid al-Aqsa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that he should rather pray in Mecca, as Mecca is more holier than Masjid al-Aqsa. The desire of the companions vowing to visit and pray in the blessed Masjid of al-Aqsa is shown in this hadith on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that a woman fell ill and she said, if Allah cures me, then I will most certainly leave here and travel to Baytul Maqdis to go and pray. Eventually, Allah Ta'ala granted her recovery and she made preparations to go out to that place, to go to Baytul Maqdis to pray. And she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she came to Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after greeting her, she informed her about her vow. Whereupon Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha said to her, be seated and eat the provisions which you had made and pray in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, prayer in it is better than 1,000 prayers observed in other masajids, except the Masjid of the Kaaba. Here again, what we are learning is that the Sahaba held Masjid al-Aqsa in great high esteem, and therefore they vowed to go and pray there. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that they should pray in Medina or in Mecca, as they are greater in nobility compared to Masjid al-Aqsa. But it indeed establishes the nobility of Masjid al-Aqsa. In another hadith, to establish the safety and security of Masjid al-Aqsa, it is recorded that even Dajjal would not enter Masjid al-Aqsa. Dajjal, who is regarded as the Messiah of the Jewish people, Allah Ta'ala had kept Masjid al-Aqsa safe and protected from Dajjal on the authority of Jumada ibn Umayyah ibn Azdi, who says that I went and a man from the Ansar and me to a man from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we said, inform us of what you heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what he mentioned about the Dajjal, and don't tell us about other than him what you have confirmed to be true. In other words, they were tabi'in, they went to a sahabi, they asked the sahabi, tell us something about the Dajjal which you heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not tell us anything else. And the sahabi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion delivered a khutbah to us. He delivered a sermon to us and he said, I warn you about the Dajjal three times. There has not been a prophet before me except that he warned his nation. Indeed, he is in your midst, O nation. He is curly-haired, dark-skinned, with an abraded left eye. He has with him a garden and a fire. His fire is a garden, and his garden is a fire. He has with him a mountain of bread and a river of water, and he causes it to drain, and he does not cultivate the trees. He will be given power over a person who he will kill, but he will have no power over anyone else. Indeed, he will remain on earth for 40 mornings, in which time he will enter every watering place in it, but he will not be able to approach four masajids, the Masjid al-Haram, which is the Kaaba in Mecca, the Masjid of al-Madinah, and the Masjid of At-Tur in Sinai and Masjid Al-Aqsa. And it should not be obscure for you that indeed your Lord, that is Allah Ta'ala, is not one eye. Here again in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Masjid al-Aqsa would be protected from even the Antichrist Dajjal. Another hadith that again establishes the authority of Masjid al-Aqsa. Today, inshallah, we will only suffice by narrating the many ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had narrated and reported relating to the sanctity, the virtue, and the nobility of Masjid al-Aqsa. Reflect for a moment as listeners about this concept, that from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people narrated these ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subsequent to that, the other narrators narrated the same hadith. And today, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, we are able to narrate and even listen to the very words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had narrated regarding the sanctity of this great sanctuary, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Sharif, on the authority of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, a prayer in the sacred Masjid of Al-Haram in Makkah is equal to 100,000 prayers. And a prayer in my Masjid in Medina is equal to 1,000 prayers. And a prayer in Bayt al-Maqdis Al-Quds is equal to 500 prayers. An extraordinary hadith states, praying in the blessed Masjid of Al-Aqsa is equal to 50,000 prayers, on the authority of Anas bin Malik, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man's prayer in his house is equal in reward to one prayer. A prayer in the Masjid of the tribes is equal to 25 prayers. A prayer in the Masjid in which the Friday prayer is offered is equal to 500 prayers. And a prayer in Masjid Al-Aqsa is equal to 50,000 prayers. A prayer in my Masjid is equal to 50,000 prayers. And the prayer in the sacred Masjid is equal to 100,000 prayers. The hadith is recorded in Ibn Majah, again establishing the nobility of this Masjid. Now, because this Masjid Al-Aqsa is so valuable in the eyes of Islam, was so valuable in the eyes of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, and so valuable in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knowing that a time will come when serving the Masjid of Al-Aqsa will become extremely difficult, there is this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that talks about being of service to the sacred sanctuary of Al-Aqsa, which draws the great reward and mercy of Allah Ta'ala, on the authority of Maymuna bint Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anha, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, O Prophet of Allah, inform us about Bayt al-Maqdis. Inform us about Bayt al-Maqdis. Again, we learn the interest that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in had for this great Masjid. And therefore, they regularly asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Masjid. So she asked Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, inform us about Bayt al-Maqdis. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so beautifully, again establishing our spiritual link with this great sanctuary, Al-Aqsa al-Sharif. He said, it is the land of resurrection. It is the land of mahshar and congregation. In other words, that is the land where you and I will all be gathered on the day of Qiyamah, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and the area of the vicinity of Al-Quds. He then said, visit it and pray in it. It is the land where we will be congregated. visit it and pray in it. For indeed a prayer in it is like a thousand prayers in other than it. She further said, O Nabi of Allah, if one of us cannot visit it, what should we do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, then he should make a gift of some oil to be lit therein, in its lamps. For indeed, the one who gives this to it, the Masjid al-Aqsa, will be like the one who has prayed therein. Likewise, we find the following ahadith. Likewise, we find the following ahadith urges us to go to Masjid al-Aqsa on the authority of the Asabi, who says, I said, O Messenger of Allah, if we are tested with remaining after you, where do you order us to go? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to Bayt al-Maqdis, for perhaps you will have offspring who will commit themselves to that masjid and visit it. Subhanallah. A prediction of Rasulullah that after me, go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa. Because perhaps if you will not be able to go, your offspring will commit themselves to Masjid al-Aqsa. What it means here is that many of the progeny of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who had migrated to Al-Aqsa al-Sharif and to Sham, their progeny would be committed to the safety, security and protection of Masjid al-Aqsa, which we are witnessing today, subhanallah. These are truly prophetic words of hope and incredible reward. They are very much in the same spirit of the reward for prayers in Masjid al-Quba, being equivalent to performing Umrah. They were started at a time where the Muslim community, these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were mentioned when the Muslim community, the Sahaba, were in Al-Madina, were not allowed to travel to Makkah to perform Hajj or Umrah. And Rasulullah said, go to Quba and you will get the reward of Umrah. Imagine people that are living there as refugees who are unable to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about them committed to this masjid on the authority of Sahal ibn Hunayf, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whoever purifies himself in this house, then comes to Masjid al-Quba and offers one prayer therein, he will have a reward like that of Umrah. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the reward of Masjid al-Aqsa and those who will be committed to Masjid al-Aqsa. Yet in another hadith, on the authority of Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, who said, I asked, O Rasul of Allah, tell us about Bayt al-Maqdis. He then said, it is the land of resurrection. Go there, pray in it, for one prayer is equivalent to 1,000 prayers. And I then said, what if I cannot go there? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, said, send a gift to it of some oil to be lit therein in its lamps. For whoever does that is like one who went there. Again, Rasulullah in this hadith encourages the ummah to provide financial assistance to the Masjid of Al-Aqsa al-Sharif. If one has an opportunity to go there to Masjid Al-Aqsa, one would observe that it is a masjid which is the third holiest sanctuary of Islam. Yet it is in need of assistance. It is in need of financial assistance. It is in need of other support and many other forms of assistance. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith says, if you are unable to travel to it, then at least send some financial assistance to Masjid al-Aqsa. Yet in another version of the hadith, which is recorded in Abu Dawood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when it was said by Maymuna, that when she asked Rasulullah, O Messenger, tell us a legal injunction about visiting Baytul Maqdis. Tell us a masala about Baytul Maqdis. Rasulullah said, go to it, pray in it. All the cities at that time were affected by war. If you cannot go to it, if you cannot go and pray in it, then send some oil to be used in its lamps. Subhanallah. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, whoever visits Bayt al-Maqdis seeking Allah's reward, Allah will grant him the reward of 1,000 martyrs. Whoever travels to Bayt al-Maqdis seeking the reward of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will grant him the reward of 1,000 martyrs. And whoever visits a scholar has the same reward of visiting Bayt al-Maqdis. And whoever visits Bayt al-Maqdis seeking Allah's reward, then Allah will keep Jahannam free from his flesh and body. Subhanallah. What a noble reward. Imagine, reflect on this. Whoever visits Bayt al-Maqdis will be granted a reward of 1,000 martyrs. And whoever visits Bayt al-Maqdis seeking the reward of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will keep the fire of Jahannam protected from his body and his flesh. Subhanallah. This establishes the greatness of Masjid al-Aqsa. And it is for this reason we find that many of the Sahaba had the longing and the love of Masjid al-Aqsa. And as we have mentioned previously, وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, whoever holds high the sha'air and the signs of Allah, it is a sign of their iman. It is a sign of their taqwa. And it is for this reason we find not only the Sahaba, subhanallah, even the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam longed and loved Masjid al-Aqsa. We mentioned previously, and we will just repeat that, the love that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam had for Masjid al-Aqsa. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam had amazing love for Masjid al-Aqsa. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that the angel of death was sent to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And he came to Musa and he said to Musa that Allah Ta'ala has sent me to take your soul. And Musa alayhi salatu wassalam slapped him severely, spoiling one of his eyes. The angel went back to Allah and he says to Allah, you sent me to a slave who does not want to die. Allah Ta'ala restored his eye and said, go back and tell him to Musa to place his hand over the back of an ox, for he will be allowed to live for a number of years equal to the number of hairs coming under his hand. Then the angel came to him and told him what Allah had commanded. Then Musa said, oh my Lord, then what will happen? And Allah said, then death. He said, then let it be now. Then Musa alayhi salatu wassalam made dua. And he said, oh Allah, bring me near to the sacred land that is Al-Aqsa at a distance of a stone's throw away. The narrator says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if I were there, I would surely show you his grave at the side of the path near the red sand dune. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this great Nabi of Allah desperately desired to enter Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa as Allah commanded in the following ayah, Ya qawmi idkhulu al-ardha al-muqaddasata allati katab Allahu lakum wa la tartaddu ala adbarikum fatanqalibu khasirin. Sadly, his people refused to enter except two men, which led them all into Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And we've mentioned some of the details in our previous discussions. that subsequent to that, Yusha alayhi salatu was salam led the Bani Israel into Masjid al-Aqsa. And we also mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, indeed the sun was not held back for any man except the Prophet Yusha the night he traveled to Bayt al-Maqdis. These were all the longings that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had, and many of these we had mentioned in the past, together with the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam for Masjid al-Aqsa on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Sulaiman and Ibn Dawood finished building the Bayt al-Maqdis, he asked Allah for three things. Judgment that was in harmony with his judgment. That means Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, after building the Masjid al-Aqsa, made dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, grant me three things. One of it is give me such decision making that would be in harmony with your judgment. Give me a kingdom that no one after me would ever have. And Allah Ta'ala had granted him both. And that no one should come to this masjid intending to pray in it except that he would emerge free of sin like the day his mother gave birth to him. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam made dua that, oh Allah, whoever comes to this masjid al-Aqsa to pray, let him return from here completely pure from all his sins. Let him return like the day his mother gave birth to him. It is said that after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as for the first two supplications, they were granted. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, establishing the significance of this masjid, said Ameen to the third dua. And he said, I hope that the third dua of Sulaiman will also be granted to him. In a similar manner, there are many other ahadith that talk about the greatness of Masjid al-Aqsa. We will conclude today with one or two more ahadith. We spoke about the occasion of Mi'raj, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Masjid al-Aqsa on the occasion of Mi'raj. This was the place where Allah Ta'ala, through His wisdom, again establishing the nobility of Masjid al-Aqsa, gathered all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam to welcome Rasulullah, where? In Masjid al-Aqsa. And it was in Masjid al-Aqsa that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam led the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam in salah. And it was from here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, ascended to the heavens. And it is from the heavens that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam first came to Masjid al-Aqsa before returning to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And it is from here that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ascended to the heavens. And it will be in Masjid al-Aqsa, in the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will once again descend from the heavens. Our deeds rise before Allah from these areas of Masjid al-Aqsa, and our soul reaches Allah Ta'ala also from Masjid al-Aqsa. Therefore, Masjid al-Aqsa is known as the gateway to heaven. Subhanallah. Again, the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were led in prayer from Masjid al-Aqsa. It is here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam witnessed Jahannam and Jannah from Masjid al-Aqsa. And subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala revealed al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Makkah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is recorded on the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Quraysh disbelieved me concerning my night journey to the heavens, I stood up in the Hatim, and the unroofed semicircular portion of the Kaaba, I stood in the Hatim And subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala displayed Bayt al-Maqdis before me, and I immediately began informing them, the Quraysh, about its signs while looking at it. I found myself, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Hatim, and the Quraysh were asking me about my night journey. I was asked about the things pertaining to Bayt al-Maqdis, which I could not preserve in my mind. I was very much vexed, so vexed that I had never been before. Then Allah Ta'ala raised Masjid al-Aqsa before my eyes. I looked towards it and I gave them the information about whatever they questioned me. I also saw myself among the groups of the Anbiya. I saw Musa standing in prayer and found him to be a well-built man, as if he was a man of the tribe of Shanu, the Yemeni man of pure lineage and a man of manly virtue. I saw Isa ibn Maryam standing in prayer. Of all of men, he had the closest resemblance to Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. I saw Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam standing in prayer. He had the closest resemblance with your companion, meaning the Nabi himself, amongst people. When the time of prayer came, I led them. When I completed the prayer, someone said, "Here is Malik, the keeper of Jahannam, so convey salams to him." So I turned to him, but he preceded me in salam. Subhanallah. Here we learn that Rasulullah was in the Hatim and Allah Ta'ala brought the entire Baytul Maqdis before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining where Rasulullah was able to physically see Baytul Maqdis as if it was on a screen. And Rasulullah then responded to the questions of the Quraysh, again establishing, subhanallah, the sanctity, the nobility, and our spiritual link with Masjid al-Aqsa, with these few ahadith, again establishing the greatness of this mosque, the nobility of this mosque. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala preserves this masjid. Allah Ta'ala provides us the opportunity to visit this masjid regularly, continuously, so that we may benefit from the great rewards and virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa, insha'Allah. May Allah preserve Masjid al-Aqsa in the hands of Muslims. Insha'Allah, in our next discussion, we will talk about some of the signs of Qiyamah related to Masjid al-Aqsa, insha'Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that we come to the end of today's program. Inshallah, we'll continue again next week Wednesday. From myself, Muhammad Bam, Mazir Ahmed Raghi, and Brother Yazdan Khan, it's Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.